Soups is the topic today. It seems easy enough to make a soup, and it is. But there's also some details to know to make your easy soup hit the high notes, so to speak. Cue Cloris Leachman. If you know, you know. Soups used to be the whole meal, but now are just one course of the whole thing. Sometimes. This episode is how to get the best out of your soups. What do those classifications mean, if anything? And is tomato bisque really a thing? The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 190.
Welcome to the Culinary Libertarian Podcast, where the philosophy is free, but the food is on you.
Hello, folks. Dan Reed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. It's the Soup Show and part of the Escoffier series. Now, this might be two shows. I don't know yet how much detail I'm going to get into, so let's get started. In the last episode of this, I went through consommé pretty thoroughly, so we're going to address that. Outside of that, so let's just get into it. Escoffier makes two broad classifications of soup: clear soups and thick soups. Now, clear soups seems pretty simple. Bouillons, the chicken noodle and beef barley style soups, and the king of all soups, the aforementioned consommé. Clear soups are made from meat, and here he includes turtle. I have an affiliate, Brodo, who sells vegan broth made in part from mushrooms, and there'll be a link mentioned in a little while for them. I've made vegetable stock for some soups too. Obviously, a vegetable stock can't be clarified like a consommé, because, you know, you put meat into it. However, if it's made well, it doesn't really need to be. The other classification is thick soups, and here the weeds get deep fast. Escoffier lists five distinct kinds of thick soups: purees, coulis, and bisques, creams, veloutés, thickened bouillons, and specialty blended soups. So first, some explanation. Cream soups are a sauce bechamel base, that is, milk that has been thickened with a white roux. Velouté soups are stock soups thickened with a white roux. Bechamel and velouté are also two of the mother sauces, but that's another show. Actually, it was another show. I'll put a link on the show notes page. Escoffier becomes painfully specific about what each kind of soup needs for a thickener. Creams and veloutés are thickened with a white roux. Other thick soups, bisques, for example, are thickened with rice. There's more, but I'm going to save that. As if how to make it thick isn't enough, there's particular instruction about finishing the soup. Veloutés are finished with a liaison of cream and egg yolks as well as some butter. Now, there's a technique for adding a liaison to soups or for adding sour cream to stroganoff, and I'll cover that in a minute. Cream soups do not get a liaison, and the quantity of butter is replaced with good quality cream. Now, in case what it means to finish the soup isn't clear, what that means is when the soup is done, the last thing you add, besides salt and pepper, is the thing that's going to finish the soup, either the liaison or the heavy cream. But wait, there's more. For the home cook and maybe even professional cooks, the distinctions between puree and coulis and bisque strains the brain. It's a food pun. No doubt Escoffier had a reason for the rigid classifications and distinctions, but I'm not pressed to find the need for his reclassification of his previous classifications. Yes, he really did that. He went and reclassified the other classifications, and it's hard to read. So, to generalize and risk missing some fine points, puree soups are made from vegetables. The thickening agent is the thing that the soup is made of. Puree of carrot is thickened with carrot puree. Now, puree of cucumber would not become thick from pureeing. In that case, the soup would be thickened with rice or white beans or potatoes. And to add to the confusion, puree soups can be made from poultry or shellfish. Puree soups would be garnished with the thing. So a puree of carrot soup would be garnished with a small dice of carrots sweated slowly in butter. Now, butter is Escoffier's preferred fat, particularly for vegetable cookery, since it imparts butter flavor, duh, and helps extract the flavor from the vegetables, but keeps the flavor in the pan, so everything goes into the bowl. A cream soup can be smooth like a puree soup, but also can have stuff in it. A cream of potato soup can have potato garnish, but also bacon garnish and chives on top, even some sour cream and grated cheddar cheese. Heck, you could even add caviar. All right, well, that might be pushing it, but you could. Velouté soups can be handled the same way as cream soups. If you want to finish it with a liaison, you can. It's good, but eat all of it. Reheating a soup with a liaison risks cooking the eggs to the point of coagulation. Now, it'll probably taste fine, but it will look a mess. Hey folks, good soups need good stocks. Sometimes you just don't want to make your own. It does take time. Wouldn't it be easier to just start with a great stock, then make your soup? Brotostocks lets you do just that. Brotostocks are chef-made and are keto, paleo, and Whole30 approved. They even have a vegan stock. Use my affiliate link, culinarylibertarian.com/broth, to subscribe today. Now let's get back into the show. The last big, well-known, creamy-looking soup is the bisque. I'm going to say right now that tomato bisque isn't a thing, even with my statement that we can step outside of the book and do some new things. Tomato bisque is a way to get a few extra dollars per serving. In the pages and pages Escoffier has on soup classifications and explanation, the best that can be found to distinguish bisques from creams or purees is the addition of brandy and almost exclusively the use of shellfish for bisques. Now, modern lobster bisques often seem to taste too boozy. Their texture is like wallpaper paste, and they're almost insipid, or they are offensive in their salty base flavor. Well, we didn't really cover this. Commercial kitchens, seemingly more and more, I can't support that claim, but I know that commercial kitchens do use a thing called a soup base. And so it comes in a 1 pound, approximately 1 pint size container, and it could be beef, chicken, possibly there's vegetable. I know there's lobster bisque base. I know there's lobster base. All kinds of different bases, and you add this some quantity of base to water or maybe stock for additional flavor. But basically, it is a way to cheat on making soups or stocks with this salty. It's a very concentrated thing. Then you dilute it into this liquid and you have quote unquote soup. But it's the sodium level is very, very high. And they all have there's a characteristic sort of flavor is hard to describe, but it doesn't taste homemade. It tastes like store-bought, and it's because it's what it is. So many places will use a base for a bisque because buying lobster bodies to make lobster stock to then turn into lobster bisque is both time-consuming and expensive. So it's unfortunate that the development of lazy cooks thinking that flavor comes from a bottle, as in the brandy, and sometimes the port and the Madeira and the white wine, makes this bisque taste like yuck. And modern cooks generally, this isn't true all the time, don't have sound cooking practices. I think that's actually coming back, happily. There's no way to cook the flavor of brandy into a dish without adding brandy. I'm not opposed to adding booze on principle. I'm opposed to adding booze like it's an open bar. Moderation, please. Scoffier calls only for brandy and white wine and modest portions of each. So one of the things that's one of the reasons you don't see a coulis on menus, and if you go through, and I'll talk about this part next week in the potage area, but so in a coulis, let's say you're making a chicken coulis soup, what he's going to do is take the chicken breasts and he calls it moisten them. So cover them, poach them slowly in chicken stock so you keep the flavor and enrich the stock you're using. And then pound the chicken meat, like as in a mortar and pestle, then pass it through a screen. And then add liquid to that and pass it through a screen again, a very fine meshed sieve. And then follow the procedures to finish the coulis. So puree soups in Escoffier's time, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have robo-coups and food blenders and food mixers and burr machines. They did it all by hand. A lot of work. And bisques are the same thing. You take these lobster bodies, because they have a lot of flavor. The little lobster legs are loaded with flavor, but there's a lot of work to get it out. And making a bisque from shrimp or shrimp shell, I mean, we wouldn't use shrimp heads. How do you get those? Shrimp shells is a good way to get flavor from shrimp. But it's hard to do. It's trouble in a restaurant. It's even more trouble at home. So it's probably a good reason why you don't make it at home, because it's a real pain in the butt. But it can be done. I mentioned liaisons a minute ago and how to add it to a soup. So let's say we have a liter of velouté nearly finished in a small or a medium stainless steel bowl, not glass. Now, in case you drop it, the glass bowl, now you have a whole new problem to attend to. We want to avoid that. In your stainless steel bowl, add the 3 egg yolks and half a cup of cream and whisk those two things together. These steps require some patience on your part if you don't have an extra set of hands. Ladle about 2 ounces of the hot soup into the egg yolk and cream mixture, then whisk that hot soup into your liaison. Add another 2 ounces whisk that again until it's all combined. Now, you may need to put one tool down to use the other one to accomplish all of this. The chief goal of adding small quantities of really hot liquid to this cold, uncooked, coagulable, inventing words, liquid here, is we want to raise the heat of the egg yolks slowly, so when we get it warm enough that the temperature difference between the bowl of liaison and the soup is not great. Now, what does that mean? It means that, say, they're within 40 degrees of each other, that they feel close to the same. When you add that liaison into the soup, it's not the protein. Yes, there's protein in egg yolks. The protein isn't going to coagulate. The fat's not going to separate, and you don't get yuck. We don't want yuck. We want lovely. So that's the whole reason for adding small quantities slowly of hot liquid into your liaison. Same thing works for the sour cream into the stroganoff. Now, one thing. When you've finished your soup or your beef stroganoff with your liaison or your sour cream or anything else you're adding those two things to, once that's done, turn the burner off or move the pan off the burner if you have an electric or one of those get glass topped stoves because they hold the heat. Once this thing is finished, and we talked about a minute ago, when you add the last finishing thing, heavy cream or liaison or sour cream for the stroganoff, it's done. Doesn't need cooking anymore. Take it off the burner, double check the seasoning, and serve. Let's take a moment out for a word from Jake about his Tasting Anarchy podcast.
Hey everyone, Jake here, host of the Tasting Anarchy podcast. Join my co-host Mason and I each week as we explore the world of wine and alcohol through a Liberty lens. You can find us on all your major podcatchers, tastinganarchy.com or Tasting Anarchy on Twitter. Tasting Anarchy, your wine and liberty podcast. Find out how much government is in your drink.
Two more important points. Don't boil the soup after you've added the liaison. We went through the trouble. We took the few minutes out to raise the temperature of the liaison so that it's nice and smooth and silky, and it does actually contribute very nicely to a velvetiness on your palate for that soup. So let's not ruin it by coagulating it and turning into goo. Serve the soup right away, since it's still hot and it's not going to get better. Hot soup is best, and you can't easily reheat it. So if you're going to make this liter of soup, you can heat it tomorrow, but come what may, it'll taste fine. That technique I mentioned about adding the sour cream to the stroganoff is perfect to use in the stroganoff in my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort. Yes, shameless plug. More than a few people have sent me photos of their versions of that dish. Some people have put it on potatoes, which is acceptable. Some people have put it on egg noodles, which is the most common way. You could even put it on a piece of toast if you want to, because it's your house. You can see those photos and order the book at culinarylibertarian.com/cookingforcomfort. All right, I'm going to stop here. Now, I have gone through the process before certainly in the sauce episode and in previous episodes about how do you add roux to a stock or stock to a roux. You can do it either way. I think that's kind of enough. I don't want your brains oozing out your ears like some sort of finished veloute. So, we're going to end here, and I will get into the section Escoffier calls potage. Now, frankly, it's confusing, and really seems only feasible in a restaurant. And there's a reason for that, and I'll cover that when I do this next Escoffier show. What also remains is the vexing potage garber. Well, not vexing to me, but it was. There was a fellow some time ago at a restaurant who, today we would say he was a Carl. His over-the-top, dramatic, emotional outburst of a soup called potage garber, because both words mean soup, was comic. It's still funny to me. So I must address that. And there is, potage garbers are definitely a thing, unlike anything else, so it's worth mentioning, and they actually are kind of fun to make and kind of fun to eat. A little bit of work, but it's worth doing. The chapter after soups, oh, and then, of course, there's international soups. We could probably do a whole show on chowders. Jeremiah Tower wrote a whole book on chowders, and chowders are an interesting thing. I don't recall seeing chowders listed in Escoffier, but it's definitely a soup, no doubt about that. The chapter after soups is hors d'oeuvre, and that is going to be fun. And there's a lot. So remember, Escoffier was serving royalty and, you know, very important, or at least they thought so, important people. So there's a show going on, and there's a grace going on. The grace is good. I like the grace. The show part, yeah, it's fun to look at, but. But the hors d'oeuvre things, that's fun. So I'll put a link to the Brodo Broth people on the show notes page, which is culinarylibertarian.com/190. I'll also add a link to my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort, and the soups episode, whichever one that is, I can't remember. I think it's actually in the single digits, which is kind of cool. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you being here. And thank you to my Patreon supporters. If you like the show and the content I'm providing, you too can become a patron. Visit culinarylibertarian.com/support for the links. Please share this episode on your social media feeds and rate and review the show on your favorite podcatcher. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.